Thank you, Lord Jesus. This afternoon, I'm going to share with you something that the Lord opened my eyes to just before I left for Holland. I just came back from Holland not too long ago with a group of leaders from my church. And we ministered to the leaders there in Holland. And the leaders there are on fire. There is a gospel revolution happening in Holland. Amen. In Amsterdam. And Pastor Mark was with me. We walked down the streets of Amsterdam, and Amsterdam is a place that, you know, sin is abounding. We walked down the street and we smell this smell like someone is smoking, but it's a certain kind of smell. We never smelled that kind of cigarette smoke before. We didn't know it was marijuana. And they sell this, you know, along the roads. It was amazing. No wonder he talked a bit of nonsense at the end of the street, you know. I was wondering what was the phenomenon. And let me tell you this, Amsterdam, where sin is abounding, grace is much more abounding. There is an army of young ministers, leaders, young and old, that God is raising, even from Romania, who were there for the conference. Leaders are being impacted, amen, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they all sound and act and look like you all by the end of the conference. They had the same kind of jokes, the same kind of smile, the same kind of favor. Amen? What an amazing gospel we have. It has the same results all over the world. You know, listen carefully. Always remember this. People say, well, we need to tailor the message for people who are mentally handicapped or people who are going through emotional trauma or single mothers or things like that. Listen, one gospel fits every size. One gospel for all. One gospel for Singapore, one gospel for Europe, one gospel fits every nation of the world. Just one gospel. Amen. You don't have to change the gospel. You don't have to change everything. It works in America. It works in Singapore. It works in Timbuktu. It works in any Batu. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we continue our study on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today I want to share with you something that I believe, if you take hold of, is going to bless you, is going to help you. And I thought carefully whether to tell you this or not, but I finally was released, because I don't want people to think that Pastor Prince is always spectacular and trying to be super spiritual. But honestly, this message came to me one night, supernaturally. God's Spirit came all over me, and I asked the Lord one question, actually, when the Spirit of God came all over me. And this was the question I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, everybody is healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? Right, people? The Bible says, by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. I like what Brother Hagin says. If I were healed, I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. It's a done deal. It's a past tense. I said that if we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, you know, when Jesus bore those stripes, you saw the movie, The Passion. He was beaten, then he still stood up. I believe that really happened, because he must take the full punishment for our total healing. That's why he stood up again. And everybody is saying, stay down, stay down. But he stood up to take the full punishment because he loved you. And he purchased the total healing for your spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And it's true, Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. But then how come? I said, there are believers still having challenges, problems in their body, problems in their health. Basically, I was talking about healing. But the principle he opened my eyes to that night applies not just to healing, it applies to financial blessings, it applies to any blessing. Amen? You know what he brought me to? He brought me to Leviticus. Imagine, I'm asking God this question, and the Holy Spirit came on me, and he says, turn to Leviticus. And he brought me to the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. The law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Leprosy during the time of the Bible is a deadly disease from which there is no cure. All right, it is like AIDS today. Once someone has leprosy, it's a death sentence. It's a slow death. It's a horrible death. Because while you're dying, you cannot hug your loved ones and spend time with them. They must be far from you because it's contagious. All right, it's a terrible death. And the Lord brought me to the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Okay, but first I want to show you something about Jesus healing a leper. This is the first mentioned healing in the Gospels. A specific instance of healing, and the first time it was mentioned was here. Jesus healing a leper. All right? In Matthew 8, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. He just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And behold, a leper came and worshipped Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing." For those of you who always wonder sometimes, is God willing to make you well in your situation? Listen to these words, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. "I am willing." So much so, he made it a statute and an ordinance. "I am willing," because he loved you. "I am willing." Then he says, "Be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now this priest and the ceremony that's mentioned is what we'll look at in Leviticus, the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now I'm going to show you something that when I preach from that, some of you heard me preach from this portion of scripture in Leviticus before. But what I'm going to tell you, I never knew until that night the Spirit of God came on me. All right? Let's look at the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest.'" Notice, the leper is brought to the priest. It sounds like a third party is involved. The word "shall be brought." And the third party is unnamed. Why? Because he's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings you and I to Jesus, the priest, right? "And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest will command two birds to be taken." Now look at this. If the leprosy, he will examine the leper if the leprosy is healed. Now look up here, church. The first thing I never saw before when I taught on this. I've taught on this portion a number of times down through the years. But the thing I never saw before was this. Never saw before. Until that night when the Spirit of God came on me was this. This is a ritual for lepers who are already healed. I thought this was a ritual for lepers to be healed. But no. This is a ritual for lepers who are already healed. Notice the Bible says the priest will examine him, verse 3, to see if the leprosy is healed. If the leprosy is not healed, there is no ritual for them. Okay, now look up here. Do you know something? This law was never executed. Because how can a leper be healed without Jesus? So, all the way from Leviticus, for hundreds of years before Jesus came, this law was never implemented. Because no leper was healed. That's why the first time the leper was healed, Jesus says, "Go to the priest for a testimony to them that the Messiah has come." Are you listening, people? Are you listening? Now, how does that compare to you and I? How many of you agree? All of us are healed. As Christians, as believers in Christ, all of us are already healed. We are all legally healed. Yet, some of us experience attacks, symptoms in our body that seems to imply, I said seems, to imply that we are not healed. And yet, for this leper who is already healed, there is something for him to go through. He's already healed. Listen, he's already healed, but there is something for him to go through. And the Lord was answering my question. What was my question? "Lord, if we are healed, and we are by the stripes of Jesus, then give me some keys, Lord." You see, this was the keys that down through the years, God gave me one key after another key. How many are glad for the key of communion? It has caused so many blessings and so many lives, isn't it? But you know what? We're not satisfied. We want more from God. Is it okay? You have a pastor like this? Pressing to God. "God, unveil to me the truths. Unveil to me the truths." Amen? Amen. I encourage all my leaders to be the same. And once in a while, we all go to a hawker center. We drink teh tarik at night. And we say, "What's God been showing you? What's God been showing you? Pastor Joshua, Pastor Mark, Pastor Henry." Sit down there. We discuss. And Pastor Matthews, tell me what God has been showing you. Because we are, church, your leaders are pressing in for you. We're not satisfied until everybody in the house is healed. And I believe this is another key that God has given me. This ritual, listen, is for lepers that are already healed. So what the priest does is this. The Bible says the priest will take two birds. Now, because of time, I'm going to illustrate. Look up here. All right? Easier for you to see what I'm doing here. This is the ritual of cleansing for the leper who is already healed. Yet there is a cleansing. I repeat. The leper is already healed. Yet there is a cleansing. You are already healed. Yet there is a cleansing. All the while when I thought on this, sometime back, I always thought that this is a ritual for the leper to be healed and cleansed. But no, this is a ritual for the leper who is already healed. All of us are lepers who are already healed. Hey, by the way, do you know you were a leper? I was a leper. Leprosy is a type of sin. We were all sinners. And we received Jesus, we are no more lepers. Amen. We are no more lepers, we are healed. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we were brought to the priest by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, there is a ritual of cleansing. And though many believers are healed, they do not understand this ritual. Now, look up here. The ritual is very simple. The priest will take two birds. Say two birds. And these two birds will be a picture of Jesus' work. All right? Now, do you know, in the Levitical law, you know how they kill animals? By the neck. They slice the throat, and then they burn the animal on the altar. It's a picture of Jesus on the cross, the sacrificial lamb of God. He died on the altar of the cross. And the animal was burned at the altar. The fire is a picture of God's fire for our sins. A judgment of God came on our sins. And it will never come on you and your family because Jesus carried your sins at the cross as your sin offering. And now the fire that was supposed to fall on your head and burn you up and your family up will never, never, never again fall on you and your family because Jesus became your sacrificial lamb. And the fire of God fell on Jesus and he cried, "I curse!" He was all consumed, amen, by the fire of God. And he consumed the fire of God and exhausted the fiery judgment of a holy God. Amen. Now, do you know when they offered the bird on the altar in those days, you know what they do? They have to split the wings. You can read about it in Leviticus 1. They split the wings like this. The bird, they split the wings. Okay, look up here. Like this. What is that a picture of? Jesus on the cross. So the two birds represent Jesus. One bird represents his death. One bird represents his resurrection. One bird was killed over earthen vessel with running water. It was killed and the blood was drained into the earthen vessel. Then the live bird, the priest takes the live bird and he takes cedar wood, scarlet and hyssop, which is a picture of all kinds of humanity from the greatest to the smallest. Cedar wood is the largest. Hyssop is the smallest plant that springs from the wall. The Bible says the wisdom of Solomon speaks of the greatest cedar wood to the smallest hyssop. So all of man was in the work of Jesus. The smallest to the greatest. And the priest will take the live bird and cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet. He will take the bird and dip it in the blood of the dead bird. There are two birds, right? One bird is killed. The live bird is taken and dipped into the blood of the dead bird. Now, once that's done, next verse, please. All right, verse 6 tells us the live bird is dipped into the blood of the dead bird. Look at verse 7. And the priest will sprinkle 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy. Come, stand over here. Okay, now look at the last line. Okay, people, look at the last line. The priest will sprinkle how many times? 7 is the number of perfection. Okay, now he takes, look up here. He takes the live bird, the dead bird is killed. The dead bird is a picture of Jesus on the cross. The live bird is Jesus who rose from the dead. Then Jesus who rose from the dead is deep into the blood of his work. And the live bird, you can almost see it struggling in the hand of the leper. The leper takes it and it's all soaked with blood. And he does this. Count out loud, okay?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay? 7 is the number of perfection. And the blood of Jesus is applied to you and I. Now listen, next And the priest will pronounce the leper clean. That's after the priest does this, he says, you are now clean. Jesus touched the leper and said, he did not say be healed. He said be cleansed. And immediately leprosy left. The word clean in the Levitical law is not just clean from sin. In fact, the word there, the primary use of the Hebrew word clean is clean from bodily defects and disease. I repeat, the word clean is to be clean from bodily defects and disease. When Naaman dipped himself in River Jordan 7 times, the Bible says he was cleansed. We call it he was healed of leprosy. But God's way of talking is he was cleansed from leprosy. Do you know something? When someone is healed, they are cleansed. So I'm showing you how to be healed when you are already healed. So watch this now. Once he sprinkles the leper 7 times, what must the priest say? You are now clean. What did Jesus say to the leper? Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left. Now, then something happens. The last line. And he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now, who is the living bird? Jesus risen from the dead. Once you pronounce, the priest pronounce you clean, he will let the living bird, the resurrected Christ in you, loose on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Only after the priest pronounced you clean, the resurrected Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be loose to heal your body. And the Lord spoke to me that night and said, do you know what's been happening all these years in the body of Christ? For 2,000 years, preachers and teachers have been pronouncing my people unclean. You are dirty. You are unclean. You are a dirtbag. Useless. And when you pronounce people unclean, the living bird on the inside is not loosed. God is waiting for a priesthood that will rise up and call people clean. What is clean again? Levitical? Levitical cleansing? Heal. Amen. Thank you. Now, it was at this point that night, the Holy Spirit came so strong on me. And I want to illustrate something here, which I don't encourage any of you to practice, okay? Only when God's Spirit is on you and you hear God telling you, then you do this. I was reading Leviticus. This is the same Bible I was using. My finger was here. And the Lord says, I now want you to just open at random. And I opened at random. God is my witness. My eyes fell. The first thing my eyes fell on were these words in red. And the voice came from heaven to Peter and said, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, church, God is my witness. That was the first thing my eyes fell on. Man, I felt like dropping the book. I felt like God was talking to me so clearly. God says, I'm waiting for a priest that will rise up to pronounce people clean. They're already healed, but they need to know they are clean. They are healed by the words of a priest. And once you pronounce, but Pastor Prince, I can't find that priest. Hello, what are you? What are you? By the way, this is not a high priest. The high priest is a picture of Jesus. This is a normal priest. It takes a normal priest to handle a leper. By the way, it's not a high priest. And you know who are the priests today? Who are the priests today? Hello, royal priesthood. Who are the priests today? Don't tell me you can't find a priest. Look at the mirror and say, hey, you are clean. You are righteous. By the blood of Jesus, you are healed. Amen. And you will let the resurrected Christ loose on the inside of you. Amen. Now put your hand on your heart. And call yourself by name. Joseph Prince, I call you clean, righteous, healed, and blessed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, y'all know That story when God says, what I've cleansed, don't call unclean. Let's look at the story just for a while. It happened to Peter in Jaffa, in Israel. And I have been to that place in Jaffa, the same house, the rooftop. Pastor Joshua and I were there. We were at the rooftop where Peter had a vision. What happened was that Peter was praying and he fell into a trance. He had a vision on the rooftop. And God gave him a vision of a sheet that came down with many kinds of animals on that sheet, the white sheet. All right? And he heard the voice from heaven. Now let's follow the story now. He saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners. In this sheet were all kinds of four-footed animals, wild beasts, creeping things. Which means what? They were non-kosher animals. You know what's non-kosher? Jewish people don't eat. Which means you see a lot of pigs running around in the sheet. All right? You see snakes. You see camels. They're all considered unclean for food. All right? Then a voice came to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Imagine the Lord appeared to you and you tell him, "Not so, Lord." Someone says, maybe he didn't know it was the Lord. He was testing the vision. No, he knew. He says, "Not so, Lord." Some people are so bound by the law. Even Jesus appears and gives them a living voice. They will not believe. They are more bound by the law. And it says this, "I've never eaten anything common or unclean." Then God answered him. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." The old King James says, "unclean." Now, God was not referring to animals. God was about to send him to the Gentiles, to Cornelius' house. And God wants him to know, don't call the Gentiles unclean. In other words, we're not to call one another unclean. And the word unclean can also be used as common. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now look up here. Once the blood of Jesus has touched you, you are an uncommon person in Singapore. You know what's uncommon? That means while other people suffer depression and oppression, you suffer peace and joy. You are uncommon. Amen. You mothers, all right, while other mothers suffer stress, you suffer the peace that passes human understanding flowing in your heart. You are uncommon. Are you listening, people? Amen. Young girls, listen to me. You are uncommon. The word uncommon means holy. Holy means uncommon, not ordinary. The opposite of holiness is not sin. The opposite of holiness is commonness. Holiness means set apart. When the priests and the people of God were set apart to God, they eat the best, they dress the best, they live the best. That is a holy life. When the people in Singapore, young ladies in Singapore who come around and say, "You're still a virgin in this day and age," you stand up and show them that you are uncommon, that you are holy, that you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And you tell them this, for me to become like you, just one night will do it. For you to become like me, never again. You are uncommon. Amen. Guard your chastity. Amen. Now, if you have lost it, there's no condemnation. The blood of Jesus has restored you. Don't feel bad. But if not, guard it. It's a wonderful gift for the one you love. Amen. Amen. You are uncommon. Dare to be different. Dare to stand out. Hallelujah. Amen. Uncommon people are people as they grow older. All right. They don't accept, "Oh, I'm very forgetful. Memory lapse." They don't say things like, "Lao liao," growing old already. Amen. Kenneth E. Hagin, when he died at the age of 86 years old. All right. I saw one of his meetings before he passed away. The same year, 86 years old, he was preaching in one meeting. Elderly man, still looks so glorious. And he was preaching and he says, like, for example, I forgot the date, but he says, June 13, 1954. Then he tells the people, "Do you know June 13, 1954 was a Wednesday?" I mean, the man's mind and memory at the age of 86 was still amazing to the day he died. Because Brother Hagin says this, long ago he read a report, all right, that says that every day these billions of cells die in your brain. And when he believed it, he began to become forgetful. Until the Lord spoke to him and says, "You are not like the people of the world. You are my child. And memory is part of the spirit. And your spirit never grows old." Then he says, "I have the mind of Christ. I will not forget things." You know what happened? Until now, You can see and listen to his tapes. He can remember things that happened 50, 60 years ago. The date and the day. It's one thing to remember the date. It's another thing to remember the day. Some of you don't even remember the day you were born. You know the date, you don't remember the day. Amen. Now, it's not the time to discuss and try to think about, listen to the sermon. I know you want to, am I a Wednesday child? Am I a Tuesday child? Now, look up here, church. Listen. God spoke to him and God says, what I have cleansed, don't call common. Don't call unclean. That means what? Don't even call yourself. Don't forget, you're a priest and you can pronounce things over yourself. Don't even call yourself common. Don't call yourself unclean. You are not. Yeah, other common people, when they reach this age, they forget things. Not me. I'm uncommon. That is holiness. It was uncommon for Sarah to be greatly desired by a king who has a harem full of beautiful women. It's uncommon for a woman at the age of 90. And then later on at the age of 99 to be desired by Abimelech, king of Gerar. Or age of 90 rather, and 70 earlier, or 60 earlier. Now, twice in her old age, kings wanted her. It's uncommon. Amen? So why is it that we don't see these things? Because what God has made uncommon, you make common with your mouth. What God has cleansed, don't call. What God has cleansed, don't call common. Has God cleansed you? Don't call yourself common. And don't call one another common. Amen. Let me show you the Amplified Translation. I love the Amplified Translation of this verse. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not you defile and profane by regarding and calling common and unhallowed or unclean. Oh. God says what he has cleansed and pronounced clean, don't you defile and profane by calling unclean or common. That means today, the way we defile is by calling ourselves unclean. We profane the work of God. Okay? So this came to Peter in a vision just before he went to a Gentile's house. Because they always call Gentiles dogs. You know? And they call Gentiles unclean. Now God wants him to go to Cornelius' house and see them clean. Amen? So it's not animals we're talking about, it's people. Amen. Now look at your neighbor and say, I'm sitting by a clean man or woman by the blood of Jesus. Say that. And look at somebody else beside you and say, I'm sitting beside a healed man or woman. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. Okay, look up here. Very simple reasoning. Which is more powerful, church? Which is more powerful? The blood of Jesus or your sins? When they meet, who is left standing? Which is more powerful, your sins or the blood of Jesus? Has the blood of Jesus met your sins? Who is left? The blood of Jesus. Where are your sins? How dare you call yourself unclean when God Almighty has pronounced you clean? God has pronounced you clean, healed. And when God touches someone and God pronounces you clean, there's power. When Jesus pronounced the leper clean, immediately the leprosy left. So the reason the body of Christ, although legally they are healed and their Savior has purchased for them at a great cost their healing, they need to pronounce it because they are the God-appointed priest today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this was done three times, the Bible says. Go back to Acts 10, please. Again, verses down. This was done three times. Three times God says, what I have cleansed, don't call unclean or common. Three times. You know why? Number three is very dear to Peter's heart. He denied knowing Jesus how many times? Three times. You know what the Lord is saying to him? Today, you know how you deny me? When I have cleansed you and pronounced you clean, you call yourself unclean. That's as much denial as it is to say, I don't know Jesus. That's why it's given to him three times. Today, that's how Christians deny themselves, that they are healed. When God has healed you, pronounce yourself healed. Apostle Prince, the pain is still there. How to pronounce myself healed when the pain is still there? I'm going to show you something about faith. Okay? Romans 4, please. Romans 4. Look up here. The promise that Abraham will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. His seed is you and I in Christ. This promise is not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made empty and the promise made of no effect. Now look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, that the promise might be sure. How many want God's promise to be sure? It says how? Of faith, by grace, that the promise is sure. Say, of faith, say by grace. So it's faith, by faith, through grace. Or of faith through grace, right? That the promise is sure. The promise of healing, the promise of prosperity is sure. Now, can I have a $50 note from someone? A $50 note, please. My leaders are so poor. Anyone has a few dollars? That was quick. Thank you. Now, this happened to me. Now, say this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure. How many want God's promise to be sure in your life? Now, this happened to me one night, another night. In fact, very recently, the Lord began to show me what faith is all about. He says, son, and I saw my hand like this, open. Let's say you're believing God for finances, okay? You're believing God for a financial breakthrough. You're getting married or believing for a house or a car, whatever. You're believing God for finances. So this money here, I hold in my hand. Look up here. Yo, Singaporeans, money. All right? I tell you this, you got to be careful about waving your money. Do not produce this at night when you walk to a Singaporean cemetery. All right? It has the ability to resurrect a Singaporean dead. The moment you flash his eyes open, you know? Okay. That night, the Lord said to me, what is sure to you when you ask me for a financial breakthrough? And I saw the money in my hand. I saw the money in my hand. And I can feel it. I can feel the money in my hand. I said, this is sure. So God says, so what is sure to you is when the money is in your hand, you can feel it, you can see it. That's sure to you. I say, yes. Not in, according to heaven. Down here in heaven, we don't see that as sure. That is very, very shaky foundation. Because if the money can be in your hand, it cannot be in your hand also tomorrow. To put your trust in this is not very sure. But you see, for us Singaporeans, this is sure. The money is in my hand. Ah, now I can praise God. Ah, this could be a check for $10,000. This could be a first prize, lucky draw. For us, God is good. Because we can feel it, we can see it. For us, this is sure. But to heaven, this is not sure. You know what's sure to heaven? Faith is sure. Faith is sure. In other words, even when you don't see it, you don't feel it, all right, because of the finished work of Jesus, you say, I am rich. That's sure. That is sure. Whether there's evidence or no evidence, nothing is more sure in the mind of God than faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, not felt. This is how God thinks. Are you listening? Now, how many of us think of this? Which is more sure? Of our healing. When the pain and the symptoms leave our body, the pain is no more there. We say that, now I'm sure I'm healed. Now, if I say I'm healed, I'm healed. But then you're basing your faith on something felt or not felt. To God, that's very unsure. What happens today? You have no symptom, no more pain. You say you are healed. What if tomorrow the devil brings a lying symptom of pain? Are you unhealed then? No. You know what's sure to God about your healing? By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. This is sure. And God wants you to hold on to that. Whether there's pain leaving, no more pain, or pain, or symptoms, or no symptoms, that is not sure. This is sure. Now, when you reckon this is sure, this will take care of itself. But be careful when this takes care of itself. Many people, they don't understand how to walk in faith. They believe God. By His stripes, I'm healed. Then the symptoms improve. Then they say, I must be healed. The symptoms have improved. They put their eyes back on, improved symptoms. Boom! They fall again. The devil brings another symptom. God wants your faith to be sure. No, God wants you to know faith is sure. Are you listening? So when you hold the money in your hand, that to God is not sure. To God, even if you don't have the money in your hand, if you believe God, that through the finished work of Jesus, you are rich. That is sure. Amen. Now, whose money is this? It is now sanctified, used for holy illustration, fit for the master's use. Amen? It's a blessed money now. All crushed up. Now, church, I want to tell you something else he told me that night. Okay? He says, many of my people don't realize without faith it's impossible to please me. So you know what they do? Most of them, they endure faith. They hear the pastor teach, confess. Even before you feel it, before you see it, confess it. All right? And you will possess it. You know what they do? I confess. I'm healed. Actually, I don't enjoy this. I'm enduring this so that I can get no pain. The manifestation. In other words, the process of faith is an endurance to them. What they are looking for is the manifestation. And God said to tell you this, tell them that they should enjoy the process of faith. That even if there's no, must have this attitude, even if there's no manifestation, just believing me pleases me. Amen. You should have a revelation that when you are using your faith, you are pleasing God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, when you have faith like that, you know your faith is pleasing God. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but you say, thank you, by Jesus Christ, I pronounce myself healed. All right? And you know what? Many a times the manifestation will come. But then, when you really enjoy the process, you'll say, oh man, the manifestation came already. I still want to please my God. And God is not pleased with evidence. God is pleased with faith. Then you start exercising faith in new areas. Because you know what? You'll come to a place, I see in the spirit, you'll come to a place where you enjoy pleasing God with faith. Even you don't, you must have this attitude, even if I don't see the manifestation. Now, please don't misunderstand. When you have faith like this, there will be a manifestation. When you know every time you exercise faith, you are pleasing God. Every time you say, when the pain is still in your body, you say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Just knowing that God is pleased with that should please you. Not saying it out of endurance. Okay, Pastor Prince, I already said 10 times. Really. What more you want? Wow, this whole week, say it again. Where is the manifestation? No, that means your eye is still on the manifestation. You must enjoy the process of faith. So much so that when the manifestation comes, and it will come with that kind of faith. When it comes, you say, man, I better get into a new area of faith. Enjoy pleasing God with your faith. Amen. Are you all learning? Now, I'm going to bring this one full circle. Okay. How many understand so far what I'm saying? Okay. Or are you here for the Mother's Day gift? By the way, our Mother's Day gift is all the way air flown from Israel. All right. Wendy made a contact with our friend in Israel to make sure that it comes straight from that place, the original product. Amen. For ladies. Hallelujah. Take only one. Now I'm going to share with you the ending part in closing. This is very powerful. Stand up, Mark. Jesus came down from the mountain, he saw a leper. Alright, can you act like, you know, something like that? Like something like that, yeah. Look retard, can you not? Just be yourself, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Okay, now listen. When Jesus came down from the mountain, was the leper who met him, was he already healed leper? Or was he still not healed? Not healed leper, right? Unhealed leper. Now keep that in mind, because I'm going to show you how Jesus reversed the law. Okay, Jesus came down from the mountain. He saw a leper, not healed yet. What was the thing that Jesus said to him? I'm willing.
Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left.
Whoa, Jesus jumped all the way to the pronouncement. Because the law is very slow. The law says you must do this, you must do that. Take this bird, take that bird, kill this bird, raise this bird. Take this wood, take that thing, that thing. That's seven times. And then you pronounce clean. Jesus bypassed all that. Listen carefully. I'm going to show you law and grace. And how wonderful it is to be under grace. Once you understand this, it's amazing. Jesus came straight to the pronouncement. Be clean! And the man was clean. Moreover, many of you have heard me share. Under the law, in the Old Testament, under the law, if you touch a leper, let's say you are clean, you touch the unclean, unclean will make you unclean. Under law, uncleanness was contagious. Disease was contagious. Under grace, Jesus the clean touched the unclean. And the unclean got his clean and became clean. Under grace, holiness, health, and life is contagious. That's why we are told to go and lay hands on the sick. Notice that healing is contagious. You don't get what a sick person has. When you lay hands, never worry, you get what a sick person has. He will get what you got. Christ in you, the divine life. You know, there are people who are afraid to lay hands. You know why? Well, scared. Nah. I lay hands, huh? Reverse motion, how? Do you know, even our bodies, you know, our legs, we have veins that have a valve that will not allow the return of blood. In the same way, there's valve that prevents that. In the same way, when you lay hands on the sick, there are spiritual valves that will not allow that sickness to enter into you, but allow the power of God to flow through you. Amen? Now, I'm going to show you how Jesus changed everything under grace for us. Jesus jumped all the performance and gave us the end result. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel. The end result is healed, clean, blessed. Under law, you have to do this, you have to do that, do this, do that, do this, to become healed, to become clean, to become blessed. Under grace, Jesus gives you the end result. The blessed effect, the final product through his finished work. And then he says, now that you are healed, now that you are blessed, go live the victorious life. Amen. Under law, you have to obey, obey, obey to become blessed. Under grace, God gives you the final product. You are blessed first so that you can obey. Good news. I said good news. Thank you. And whom God has cleansed, don't you call retard. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Church, listen. Listen carefully. Oh man, do you know something? People have deviated. Even Word of Faith preachers now, many of them, not all of them, okay, but there are many who are teaching now lifestyles, integrity, holy life. Now, I'm not against that. I'm not against that. But we have forgotten that all these things are a byproduct of faith. We have forgotten the simplicity of speaking faith. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. We say things like, faith without works is dead. In other words, you must speak, but there's something for you to do. And when you ask them, what to do? Don't know. But there's something for you to do. Every time you think there's something for you to do, you come under law. Romans 10 says, Moses describes the righteousness of the law by saying this, the man that doeth, the key of the law is what? Doing. The man that doeth them shall live in them. But the next verse says, but the righteousness of faith speaketh. Righteousness of faith speaketh. Righteousness of faith speaketh. The law is what? Doing. Faith is speaking. Hey, in the first service, the Lord spoke through me and said this. It came out before I realized it. Kings speak, servants do. You're a king priest. You have more authority to pronounce clean than the priest in the Levitical law. They are just priests. You are a king priest. And where the word of a king is, there is power. But you know what? The teaching has come today. even among the word of faith, speaking alone is not enough. There must be corresponding action. No, the greatest corresponding action to your faith is to speak your faith. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm talking. Let me ask you a question, okay? The Bible says we are to have the faith of God. Is God a faith God? How did God create everything? By faith. Have you noticed? When God saw darkness, God says, light be! He spoke it. Then he saw. Then he looked at the earth. Let the earth bring forth cattle! Did he say, after that, now what shall I do? What is my corresponding action? What must I do now? Because faith without works is dead. No! To God, speaking is doing. Doing is speaking. The greatest thing you can do is to pronounce, as a king, things you want to see happen in your life. You pronounce yourself clean or others clean. You let the living bird, Jesus Christ, loose on the inside of you. Okay, a case in point, a wonderful case in point is this. What is the greatest miracle in your life? Talk to me. What's the greatest miracle in your life? Oh, Pastor Prince, the greatest miracle is when you pull that jackpot. You hear it, you see it, you feel it. Now, you know, Pastor Prince, I didn't happen to want to go there. I happened to be at the integrated resort. Just passing through. Some people are waiting for that to happen. What if I tell you this? God says you are rich now. There are people who will play the same number every year. Then finally hit fourth prize. They're so happy. It's not even a fraction of what they put in. And that's what gambling is all about. Wendy told me the other day, darling, what's the middle word for casino? Sin. I said, whoa, what a revelation. Where did you get that from? She said, I just meditated on it. Some of you are waiting for the next few years to happen. Jesus gives you the end product. The finished work. The prosperous, he gives you that position straight away. Through his finished work. There's nothing for you to wait for. You are prosperous now! You are healed now. You are clean now. You are favored now. But Pastor Prince, I don't see it because you've not been pronouncing it. You've not been saying it. In your heart of heart, you think speaking alone is not enough. That's why you don't see it happen. Speaking to God is doing. Creation was executed with God speaking. The greatest miracle of all is your new birth. And how was the new birth received? How was it effected in your life? You believe in your heart. And you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord, you were saved. Just believing and speaking. The greatest miracle happened to you when you believe and you speak. Did you say, after that, oh, what is my corresponding action? No, your corresponding action, your faith with works was speaking your faith. That was the greatest act to your faith. To speak it. Amen. You should wake up every morning and say, man, I got a super healthy body. Man, I don't know what to do, man. Super healthy body. This body is, the immune system is amazing. It repels every sickness and disease. Amen. All because of the work of Jesus. I got a super healthy body. Man, I'm getting more and more good looking. I don't know why. Can't help it. Man, this body is just, man, I don't know what to do, man. Hallelujah. I'm getting younger and younger. Hallelujah. Instead of getting up and, you know, where the word of a king is, there is power pronouncing yourself, oh, lauliawa, you know, once again, listen carefully. The way of law is like this. Do this, do that, do this, do that, and it's a process of time. Then one day, you will have the final result of, bless, heal. Jesus came to bypass all this. He did all the performance for us. And gave us the final product, the blessed effect, the end result through his finished work. I'm going to show you this design, this secret. How many like secrets of God to be revealed? I'm going to give you a secret of God. In the first miracle of Jesus, what was the first miracle of Jesus, people? And I'm going to close. What was the first miracle of Jesus? He turned water into wine. Jesus turned water into wine. By the way, don't fight me, don't write to me. All right, I got no time to read your letter. Write to Pastor Henry. The Bible doesn't condemn wine drinking. I know Baptists do. And Baptists are good people. But we cannot go by denominations. God condemns drunkenness. God does not condemn food. God condemns gluttony. Just look straight, look straight. Don't look at your neighbor. God does not condemn wine. God condemns drunkenness. Now, if you got a problem with alcoholism, do not even touch the stuff for your case. All right? But listen, Jesus did not turn water into grape juice. I know there are preachers in America that teach that Jesus turned into grape juice, but don't forget, there's a master of ceremony down there who drinks a lot. And when he tasted the wine that Jesus performed, that Jesus produced, he did not say, "Wow, very good grape juice." He says, "This is the best wine." He didn't even know where it came from. So watch this. In the first miracle, it seems like nobody got healed. No devil was cast out. And yet it was the first miracle. And there's a lot of things to learn in God's first. What is the lesson of the first? Is this. Listen carefully. You know how long it takes to produce good wine? He turned water into wine. Now, I was told by a man who owns... I heard about a man. He said this. A man who owns vineyards in Italy. And he has a commercial line in his wine. And there are also some people in America that will share with you this truth. When you go to a visit in Europe to a vineyard or whatever, wine tasting they call it, ask the man some of these things. You'll find how good wine is made. Okay? Now, quick lesson on good wine. To have good wine, you must, from the seedling period of the vine tree, from the pine, the point is a seed, right? Let's start from seed. You know how long it takes. And you know how, the amazing power of Jesus' miracle. Look at the seed of the grape put in the ground. Before you can have wine, you must have the tree. Everyone nod your head. Before you can have the wine, you must have the grape. Before you have the grape, you must have the tree. All right? Before you have the tree, you must have the seed. So from the time it's sown until the time it bears grapes is about 2 to 3 years. Now once, even 2 to 3 years, it has grapes. You know what? The grapes is still no good for wine yet. There are people who are greedy and they try to make it into wine. It's not tasty wine. It's not good wine. You must wait longer. After 3 years, you must wait from the 4th year to about 6th or 7th year. Now these years, the grapes are good for winemaking, but only for basic wine. If you want really good wine, once the wine is made after the 7th year or 6th year, you must keep the wine for about 10 years, 20 years. The longer it's kept, the better the wine. It's like us guys, as we grow older, and all the ladies that, come on ladies, every time I say, "You ladies are beautiful and young and blessed," the guys say, "Amen. Can't you do the same for us?" Once you hit 40 years old, you get like wine. Thank you for the few, amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen. That means from the time it's put in the ground until the time you get good wine, you know how long is it? 10, 20 years, 30 years, even better wine. Jesus gave the final produce. You know what Jesus did in one miracle? He compressed time in an instant and gave the final product, the blessed effect, the end result, through his finished work. You don't have to grow old pulling the jackpot. He makes you rich now. Amen. You got to pronounce yourself healed. I pronounced myself prosperous when I was still traveling by MRT. I pronounced myself prosperous when I took the bus. And I imagined the bus driver, never told him of course, the bus driver is my driver. I pronounced myself, you see, the joy, listen carefully, is not in seeing the house, the car, or the material. It's not important. The joy is in believing God. Every time you pronounce yourself healed, clean by the blood of Jesus, righteous by the blood of Jesus, you bring joy to God's heart. That alone is enough. Once you understand that, you enjoy the process of faith. You don't always endure faith for the manifestation. You enjoy faith, even if there's no manifestation, knowing your faith is pleasing your God. So once again, what did Jesus do under grace? He gives you the, through his finished work, he gives you the final product, the end result, the blessed effect. Now look up here. The church of Ephesus, say Ephesus, is a place in Turkey today. It's still there. All right, one of the church in the one of the most spiritual churches. And before Paul left, Paul gathered the elders together in Acts 20 and said to the elders of Ephesus, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So grace, the word of his grace. 4 years after that, Paul wrote the most spiritual of all his letters to the Ephesian Christians. 4 years after that. And the letter opens up like this, chapter 1 of Ephesians. We are all seated with Christ. We are all blessed with all blessing. We are highly favored. Straight away, he gives us the end result, the final product. Before he talks about walking worthy of the Lord, before he talks about husband love your wife, wife submit, before he talks about servants, you know, submitting to your masters and all that, before he talks about lifestyle, before he even talks about standing against the powers of the devil, he talks about you're already blessed. You are there. You are there. You are there. You must learn that you are there. Something in your heart is crying out, I wish I can believe I'm prosperous. I'm already favored. I'm protected. Reach out and receive. You are. And once you believe you are blessed with all blessings, sit with Christ and just bless. Jesus gives you the final product. And then the more you rest in Christ, you are able, the next chapter says, walk worthy of the Lord. Notice your walking worthy is an outflow of your final product. How well you walk is how well you sit. How well you enjoy the finished work. Then, not only that, you'll finally stand against the devil. How well you stand is how well you realize you're already blessed. You know you're not going to be protected. When virus comes from Hong Kong or China that no medicine can cure, you are not going to be protected. Then you are protected already. You are not trying to get into the secret place of the Most High. You are there already. Do you understand? Amen. Come. And Bae Yong Jun, come. Quick. On this side. Okay. Put your hands together. Ark of the Covenant. Touching one another. Support one another. Now this is the Ark of the Covenant. There's a golden box. This is called the mercy seat. Say mercy seat. These are the two cherubim. Okay. Every year they put blood here. On the mercy seat. What's inside the box? The Ten Commandments, the two stones, and Aaron's rod and manna. Okay, basically it's the two stones, the Ten Commandments inside here. Now watch this. Many Christians are taught, Psalms 91, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, but they are taught, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this, you must do that, then one day you'll be in the secret place of the Most High. No. Once you are in Christ, this is what it means, you are in Christ. You are under the shelter of the Most High. You are under the wings of the Almighty. 1,000 can fall at your side of SARS or whatever. 10,000 at your right hand, tsunami. It will not come near you. You didn't perform to reach here. You were given this as a gift. Jesus performed and gave you this end result. You are here. You know how you get out from here? This is how you fall from here. The moment you try to do to become, that is the law. The law is the Ten Commandments. The moment you try to do the law, you fall from grace, your high spot, the mercy seat. You fall from grace to do the law. Falling from grace is not when you sin. It is when you try to keep the law. Notice grace, mercy seat is higher than law. Law is inside. Every morning you should say this. Father, I thank you. My family and I are so safe and secure. We are in Christ, seated at the Father's right hand. Far above the devil, far above SARS, far above rising oil prices, far above the casino, far above every disease. Hallelujah. My family now are so safe and secure under the shelter of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so safe, Father. My family and I are safe and secure. And there's nothing for you to do. It's all given to you as a gift. Amen? Amen? All right, give them a good hand. Praise the Lord. Remind me not to rub my face. Lest I faint, you know? And it's not nice for a speaker to be talking and then fainting, right? Now, let me close. This is wonderful. Do you know you are there? I said you are there. Something in your heart responds to this. You must know you are complete in Christ already. And every day you have to say that, you have to say that, you have to say that. Let me close with this beautiful illustration from the story of Brother Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin prayed for a little child. The parents brought this child to his healing meeting one day. And he prayed for the child. The child has clubbed feet. That means the feet was deformed. No proper toes and clubbed feet. Just like stubs. So the mother and father brought the child to him, and Brother Hagin laid hands on the child's legs. And you know what? When he took his hands off, it was still the same. But Brother Hagin said this to the parents. From now on, he said, I believe the power of God has gone into those legs. From now on, keep on saying, two of you, keep on saying, the two of you, my child's legs is healed. The power of God has gone into my child's legs. The power of God is working mightily in my child's legs. Thank you, Lord. My child's legs are healed. He says, keep the switch of faith turned on. That's what it means. Keep the switch of faith turned on. So the mother brought the child back. She had tears in her eyes when she bathed the child. And she looked at the feet, just dangling. She said, Father, I thank you. I believe the word of the man of God. My child's legs are healed. Thank you. The power of God. She felt nothing. Just by faith. Father, I thank you. Speaking faith. Nothing for you to do. Speaking faith. I thank you. The power of God has gone into my child's legs. Hands were laid on this child, and the power of God has gone to these legs. And I thank you, my child is healed. The next day, same thing. I thank you, Father, my child is healed. I do not know how many days passed, 4 or 5 days. All right, one day the mother was closing her eyes and touching the child's legs. And Father, I thank you, my child's legs. Boom! She heard a snap. Crack, crack. She looked to find beautiful, firm feet. And this is a true story. It's a true story. All right? Now, when you see that, when these people see that, they say, oh, God healed the child. No, God healed the child already. Faith was sure. Amen. But the mother pronounced it. The mother pronounced it. And God is telling me to tell you, enjoy this pronouncement. Enjoy this pronouncement. Whether it's prosperity, whether it's finances for that house or for your wedding day or whatever, pronounce it now. Pronounce it. Pronounce it. Amen. Amen. I call my house paid. I call my house paid. I call my debt paid. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have a job, say, Father, I thank you. I have the job in Jesus' name. A good job. Amen. Don't say, don't listen to preaching that says, unless you do this, unless you do that. Unless you do this, unless you do that. Chak chak pong, chak pong, chak pong. Don't dance, sayang. Do this and you do that. Then one day, you will come to the place where you are prosperous. Be careful of such teaching. Amen. 4 years after Paul wrote to Ephesians that you are blessed and all that, you know what happened? 20 years after that, the book of Revelation, Jesus addressed the church of Ephesus and said this, remember from where you fell. Remember from where you fell. The place of grace. The church was a fallen church. You know why? They went back into law. They were on high ground. Now, that is not a word of condemnation, by the way. If the Lord says, look, you have fallen, that's a condemnation. When He tells you, remember from where you fell, that's an encouragement. He's showing you your high calling again. Remember from where you fell. That means what? You can get back. Remember from where you fell. The place of grace. You know what place is that I'm telling you today? The place where you say, I'm healed. And the only way to get out from that protection, when someone says, you must do that, you must do this, then you are inside the secret place, you know, you listen, I'm not there yet. You mean I'm not there yet? I must do that. Okay, I must do this. Then you fall. You get out actually. The moment you try to do something, you get out. Because you're saying you're not there yet. Whenever you try to perform to become, you fall back under law. Because you don't have to perform to become. You have become. So you can perform.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I think I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All across this place. Thank you, Jesus.